Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Ayin Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 6 lines from the bottom of Daf Ayin Vov. Before we begin the actual shiur, let us make it very clear that it's essential that one is firmly rooted in the information of our previous year of Daf Ayin Hey before beginning this year today. We'll be making references to the explanations that we saw that were highlighted in the volcano markings numbered 1, 2, and 3 that we saw back on Ayin Hey Omid Beis. We have a topic heading that you'll notice on the side under the Nosei, which we indicate is Ad Sof Amid Beis. Basically, the shiur today is one topic, and it reads as follows. The note on the side, Dino Shel Shmuel, will be studying Shmuel's law, Hamachlif Poro B'chamor. There's an exchange. An owner of a cow and an owner of a chamor. The owner of the cow wants the donkey, and the owner of the donkey wants the cow. Umoshach bal hachamor es hapora. And the owner of the donkey drew unto himself the cow. And that, you should understand, is a deal clincher. That's called a kinyan meshicha. And in this case, it's even more accurately, we call this a kinyan chalipin. Chalipin means an exchange. So for my doing the meshicha on the one, the other animal's ownership automatically or immediately becomes transferred. So the owner of the donkey did an act of drawing unto himself the cow. V'nimtza chamor meis. And then after the drawing of the cow was done, the donkey was noticed to be dead. Al bal hachamor Lahavi Raya. Shmuel tells us that it's the obligation of the donkey owner to bring proof that when the transaction was done, the donkey was still alive. Afopi she hasofek loinoilad birushuso. Even though the doubt arose after the deal, meaning the ownership of the donkey would appear to not be the original owner's domain anymore. So even though the donkey is viewed as being out of his domain, and when we speak about domain, we're talking about out of his ownership, nevertheless, he has to bring proof. Umi mishnosenu efshir lahavi siyua lazeh. And it is claimed that that one can bring proof to this from our Mishnah. Structurally, when we look at the Gemara, you'll notice a house marking around Shmuel, and also an Aleph next to that in the space between the Gemara, to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, Shmuel, and we call this Aleph. And you'll notice on Amud Beis, a quarter of the way up from the end of Amud Beis, a Shmuel, again in a house mark, and that is called the second one, the Beis version. So that there are going to be two Lishonos in Shmuel. Now another major aspect of this Gemara is the expression that you see double underlined, Vitona Tuna Kala. That means that Shmuel's teaching is based on or is, can be proven by or substantiated by the that which the Tana taught in the Tana, in the Mishnah, our Mishnah, concerning Kala, the case of the Kala with the blemishes. When did they develop? And we saw the Mishnah speak about a blemish being revealed in while the Kala, while the wife was in the her father's domain, or it was in her husband's domain. And we saw the Mishnah make reference to the controversy over whether or not a ksuba would have to be paid, who has to bring proofs. And it was this that I'm referring to before, that I referred to before. You really have to be well rooted in that discussion in order for us to continue this discussion. It would be a overkill for us to repeat all of yesterday's shiur in the course of this particular shiur. Another marking that we want to draw your attention to is that after the Gemara makes the point that Shmuel's halacha can be substantiated by the Mishnah, we want to know what aspect of the Mishnah. And in order to determine that, we have triangles. These represent nesyonos, attempts, limtso, ma b'mishnosenu, misayas ledino shel Shmuel. What about our Mishnah supports Shmuel? So you'll see how the Gemara goes through a few attempts. Another point that as we're about to embark on this year, it seems to me that we're going to be learning a significant amount of the Rashi in the Rashi text as we go along. So now we begin the Gemara, six lines from the bottom. Omar Rabbi Yudah Mar Shmuel, Hamachlif Pora B'chamor, an exchange between the owner of these two animals, an exchange of a cow for a donkey, Umoshach Bal HaChamor Es HaPora, the owner of the donkey. When we speak about the owner, we mean the original owner of the donkey. He's the one that's interested in the cow. So he drew the cow, and of course the owner of the cow is interested in getting the donkey. So the donkey owner, he drew the cow, although he speaks Bal HaPora Limshoch Es HaChamor, and the owner of the cow didn't draw the donkey at Shemei Sachamor until it was realized that the donkey was dead. I pointed out earlier, and it's a significant point of knowledge, that when we speak about a kinyan chalipin, in order to clinch the deal, it's sufficient that just one party does the act of drawing the animal. That clinches the deal, and the other animal is automatically, in legal terms, is automatically transferred. So now we have a former donkey owner that drew a cow, and he's very happy. He says this is a nice live cow. And lo and behold, the donkey that was supposed to that is considered owned by the cow fellow, the donkey is dead. Al bal hachamor lahavi raya shohoyo chamoro kayom bishas meshichas pora. It is upon the donkey owner who drew the cow to bring evidence, bring a proof that the donkey was alive at the time that the deal was clinched. Of course, if the donkey was alive at the time the deal was clinched, so we say tough luck on the cow owner. He just got himself his donkey just died. And I say his donkey, meaning that the cow owner had already become the owner of the donkey. But in order for us to say that the cow owner had become the new owner of the donkey would have had to have been alive at the time that the cow was drawn. So as Shmuel presents things, it's the burden of the donkey, former donkey owner. It's his responsibility to bring proof that the donkey was alive at the time that the deal was clinched. Vitana tuna kala. And our Mishnah substantiates Shmuel's halacha in its teaching concerning the kala of the bride. Hey kala, which aspect of our Mishnah supports Shmuel? Stage one. Ilema kala beveis aviha. This expression, kala beveis aviha, we're going to say it's a code for one of the Tanaic opinions that were presented to us on Daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis, courtesy of Rebbe Elazar, who represented the first approach in resolving the understanding of the Mishnah. Again, without going over the whole sugya from last time, but when you see the expression here of kala beveis aviha, that is a reference to Shitas Rebbe Yehoshua. We have included a little synopsis of this on the side of the Gemara. You can see we've written in on the side of Ayin Vav Amud Beis at the upper part of the daf, Kala Beveis Chomiha Aviha, Have a Kinui the Rebbe Yehoshua Vishitoso. This is a code reference to Rebbe Yehoshua and his approach to Habal Neman. When you have an argument or a doubt has arisen because of two opposing forces, in the Mishnah you saw the girl or her father versus the husband. Here we've got a donkey owner and a cow owner. Two opposing forces. According to Rebbe Yehoshua, that and his shita, that the Baal Ne'emon, that the husband was believed, Ve'afilu Noilad Hasofek Birshuso, even when the doubt arose while in his domain, Kamo B'Seifa, like the end of the Mishnah, which spoke about the Nichnaso L'Rishus HaBaal, V'al Ha'ov L'Hovi Raya, the Mishnah had taught that if the Kala entered the Chuppah, consummated the marriage, and then the blemishes were revealed, the Mishnah taught that the father would have to bring proof to that. So that according to the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, the Baal is always going to be believed in his arguments against the father of the girl. And as we just said, even when the doubt arises in his own domain, nevertheless, the other party, the father, has to bring proof in order to win his argument against the Baal. That's a skeletal version of what Shitas Rabbi Yeshua represents. And as we said, the reference to Rabbi Yeshua is encoded in the expression Kala Beveis Aviha. This, of course, is all a reflection on the approach that Rebbe Lozer had presented on Ayin Hey Amud Beis, and the suggestion in our sugya is that Shmuel learns the Mishnah like Rebbe Elazar had learned the Mishnah. Now to fill in a little bit of the meat. We said, after hearing Shmuel's halacha, that the Baal HaChamor is going to have to bring proof, even though the suffix about the Chamor's life being alive arose after the Chamor was no longer in his own Rishus. So we're saying that approach is parallel to Shitas Rabbi Yehoshua in the Mishnah. Now Rashi on Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, let's say six lines from the bottom. Let's learn it together in the text. Ilemo kalo beveisoviha reisho demasnisin shebo'u ledin be'oido arusa. The beginning of the Mishnah spoke about a husband and a father of a girl that came to argue because blemishes appeared. And the question, of course, is when did the blemishes appear? When did they develop on the girl? So they, in the Reish of the Mishnah, they came to argue while she was still an Arusa, the Katoni, Ho'av Tzorach Lohavi Raya, that the father has to bring a proof that the blemishes arose only after the Arusa took place. Usvira Le Lishmuk Rebbe Lozar, Demuki Lo Betrei Tanoi. Shmuel accepts Rebbe Lozar's approach from Ayin Hayomid Beis, that the Mishnah is actually split authored. There are two authors or two shitos represented in the Mishnah, even though the Mishnah has no names. Vafilu nichnaso lechupa is lei latana dereisha shoav sorach lovi raya. Even if the girl leaves the father's domain, enters the chupa, consummates the marriage, and then the doubt arises, the father still is the one that has to bring a proof as to the appearance of, as to when the blemishes appeared, in order to support his position. Even though when you have nichnas alachupa, the girl enters the husband's domain, the doubt is arising now in the husband's domain, and yet the father has to bring the proof to defend himself. Alma eino goy v'mamon misafek. What do we see from here? Notice we emphasize this phrase in the Rashi, that when you have a pure doubt, the father is not going to be collecting money. And we're using this now as a principle. There's no money collection when you have a simple doubt. In order to collect the money, you've got to bring proof in order to clear the doubt. But when you have a simple doubt, there's no money collection. V'hai nami. Now bringing things over to the case of the animal transfer. Here too, hai nami. This one also, the former owner of the donkey, lo yachzik b'poras chaveru misofek. He won't be allowed to hold on to that cow out of doubt. V'afagav shehasofek b'shus chaveru nolad. Even though the death, and knows when did it die? That's the suffix, the doubt concerning when did it die. The doubt arose when the cow was no longer in that fellow's rishus. Shaharei kvar nasis mashicha. The act of drawing, the deal clincher, was already done. After the deal clincher was done, then the doubt arose. So the aliveness of the donkey, the doubt concerning its liveness, arose when the donkey was no longer in the reshus, in the domain of the donkey owner, and yet Shmuel is insistent on the donkey owner bringing proof in order to keep the cow that he just drew. So the suggestion that we heard so far, we read the Gemara and we read the Rashi on that, is that our Mishnah in the we'll call it the Reisha opinion of the Mishnah, namely Shitas Rebbe Yoshua, that we saw in the Mishnah, supports Shmuel's idea. And that is highlighted from the fact that according to Rebbe Yoshua in the Mishnah, after a woman enters the domain of the husband and then the blemish issue arises, we see the father still needing to bring the proofs. So we see, and otherwise, the father is not going to be able to collect the ksuba money that will result upon the husband divorcing the wife because of those blemishes. So the only way for the father to collect the money of the ksuba in the face of this doubt is by his bringing the proof, even though the doubt concerning the blemishes arose in the case of Nichnas Lushusabal when the girl was no longer in the father's domain. The Gemara says, "Me dummy, how can you compare the Shita, well, Shitas Rabbi Yeshua as represented in the Mishnah to our case, to Shmuel's din?" Hassam, in the case of the Mishnah, the father's interest is to extract money. Hassam, maisi av raya umapik. The father is interested in extracting money. Mapik is to take out, to extract money from the girl's husband. Well, if you're interested in extracting money from somebody, you had better bring proof to be able to do that. So, if there's an issue of someone trying to get money, and he wants to do that, well, then he's got to bring the proofs. Ha-ha! In the case of Shmuel, the interested party is the Baal HaChamor, who wants to keep the cow. Ha-ha! Maisi Baal HaChamor Raya U-Mokim. Are you telling me that the owner of the donkey is on the same footing, legal footing, as the father? Not at all. In the case of the owner of the donkey, what we're asking of him is to bring proof to simply maintain the status quo. In other words, to enable the Baal HaChamor to keep the cow. There's a significant difference between expecting someone to bring proof in order to extract money, as opposed to expecting or demanding of someone to bring proof simply to maintain a current situation. So that if you tell me that we expect the father to bring proof to his argument, that's obvious. Of course he has to bring proof, because he is trying to extract money. But based on that, to expect the Baal HaChamor to bring proof in order to support his side, it's not the same thing. If you have to compare positions, the Baal HaChamor is in a much stronger position than the father is in the case of the Mishnah. Now, let us take a look at Rashi on the top. Mi domi hasam dinhu. In the case of the Mishnah, it's understandable, shitzarf lovi raya, that the father would have to bring proof. Sherei hu hamotzi mechavero. He is the extractor of the money. Hilkoch maisi rayo mapik mamona. Therefore, he has to bring a proof to defend his argument in order to enable him to extract money from the husband. Umisham atobo lumoid es ze? And from there you're trying to learn a support to Shmuel's case. She muchsuk beporazu vioimeid. The former donkey owner is currently holding on to the cow. And he, in other words, he's already in possession of it. He was in possession of it before the doubt arose. And you're telling me that based on the Mishnah, the owner of the donkey has to bring proof in order to keep that which is already in his possession. They're so different. Okay, well then, where in the Mishnah is there support for Shmuel's din? Let's go back to the Gemara, the next triangle, third line from the top. Omer Rabbi Abba, Kalo Bebeis Chomia. As we said before, this is a catchphrase. It's a code. Kalo Beis Chamia means the Tana of the Seifa. The Tana of the Seifa was Rabban Gamliel. The Tana of the Seifa is Rabban Gamliel. As we see on the side, remember we read a note on the side. So let's go back to the side, the left-hand side, upper corner of the page. Kalabes Chamiel have a kinui the Rav Gamliel. It's a code for Rav Gamliel. Tehoav v'ha'isha ne'emon, that the father and the woman, they are believed. Ve'afilu nolad hasofek b'rishus ha'av. Even in a case where the doubt arises in the father's domain, ukemo b'reisha, like is the case in the beginning of the Mishnah, the Oida Bershuso, when she was still an Arusa, she hadn't entered the husband's domain yet. She was still in the father's domain and the blemishes were discovered. V'al Habal Lahavi Raya. And we saw in the Mishnah, it was stated explicitly in the seif of the Mishnah, the Baal has to bring a raya, but following the approach of the Amora Rebbe Elazar, when we say that the seifa is authored by Gamliel, it means that Rabbi Gamliel's same position that the husband has to bring proof applies also in the Reisha case. So going over this point, in the Reisha, adopting Rabbi Gamliel, who is represented in our Mishnah according to Rebbe Elazar, and Shmuel accepts Rebbe Elazar's approach, in the Reisha case, through the eyes of Rebbe Elazar, what is happening? You have a husband having to bring proof. The Baal has to bring proof to his argument. What is the Baal's ultimate goal? Not to pay the ksuba. In other words, to hold on to the money that he's already holding on to. Doesn't that remind you of the Baal HaChamor who's trying to hold on to the cow that is already in his possession? So far, so good. So far, then, the suggestion that Rabbi Gamliel, the Tan of the Seifa, will be the proof for Shmuel is okay. And where is this highlighted? Well, you take a look at the racial case through the eyes of Rabbi Gamliel, and what do you see happening? You see, blemish is discovered in the father's domain. As far as the husband is concerned, that's out of his domain. And yet, who has to bring proof? The husband has to bring proof concerning a doubt that arose out of his domain. And we're paralleling the former owner of the donkey is having to bring proof that the donkey was alive, even though the doubt arose out of his domain. Sounds really good. Let's now read this in the words of the Gemara. Three lines from the top. Om Rabbi Abba. Kalo bebeis chomiha. That's all the Gemara says. It's extremely terse. But as we explained, it's the Kalo bebeis chomiha is the code for Shitas Rabban Gamliel. That it's the husband's obligation. Wherever the doubt arises, even if it's out of his domain, he is the one that has to bring a proof. Even in the case of the Kala Bebe Savia, he's going to bring proof to maintain the chazaka, to maintain maintain the money that he has been already is holding on to maintain the ksuba payment and not have to make it. Even though the latest asafek, the arising of the doubt, is taking place while the girl is still in her father's domain, outside of the husband's domain. The Gemara asks, "Vakati lo domi," but still, these are not parallel situations. Hasam baal maisi raya umeira le lechazoke daaf. What we're expecting of the husband in that case is to bring proof to weaken the position of the father. In other words, the father has the benefit of the cheskas haguf, that he has a daughter that was born without blemishes. The blemishes arose only after she entered marriage. The husband has to come. What the husband is trying to do over there is he's trying to ruin that assumed status. Without any proofs, if you have a simple issue of suffix, we see that the father has the benefit of the girls being blemish free. So, of course, the father should win. Now, the husband is trying to undo that. Of course, you want to change the given status, the status quo, then you have to bring a proof. Of course, then the husband's proof would be that the blemishes arose before the Erusin. So the Baal's role over there, it's true he's trying simply to hold on to the money. But his role there is to weaken a pre-existing status. Ha ha! Baal HaChamor Maisi Raya Umokim Chazoke Biyodei. With regard to the Baal HaChamor, what we're expecting of him is not the same thing. All that he would have to do is bring, according to Shmuel, he's expected to bring proof to what? To maintain the pre-existing status, namely of a live donkey. So that someone who's coming to weaken a given status, namely, that's what Rabbi Gamliel's approach is to the Mishnah, that the Baal is always expected to bring proof, especially when it's not in his domain, when the doubt arises outside of his domain, and he's coming to bring proof to weaken a pre-existing status quo. Okay, you want to change givens? You've got to bring proof. However, to expect the same of the Baal HaChamor based on Rabbi Gamliel in the Mishnah, that's unreasonable. The Baal HaChamor, who is the one that Shmuel says is supposed to bring the proof, is only trying to maintain the known pre-existing live status of the donkey. So how can you conclude Shmuel's din? How would you say that Shmuel's din is based on Rabbi Gamliel in the Mishnah? They're so unlike. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Note, this is a third approach, and it's a long point that he's going to make. We've marked it off accordingly. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok now has to deal with all of, we'll say, the questions that have been posed already. That what have we done? We've defined up to this point the role of the Baal HaChamor is through Shmuel's eyes. What's the role of the Baal HaChamor through Shmuel's din? You have a person that it's true there is a doubt that has risen, that has arisen outside of his domain. And the Baal HaChamor is bringing proofs to what? To maintain the money in his pocket, to keep holding on to that which was already holding on to, and to maintain a pre-existing status quo of the live animal. So you have a lot of, we'll call it, maintenance proof bringing. Where do we see that in the Mishnah? Maintenance proof bringing. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok says, it's the case of Kala Beveis Avia Ula Kiddushin. Up till now, we thought we were talking about the Ksuba money. Not so. We're talking about the initial marriage money, the Kiddushin money. This is money that was offered to the girl initially in exchange for her consenting to marriage. So that when you're dealing with a minor, the money was given to her father. So now the Tana, according to Rabbi Nachman of Nachman Yitzchok, the Tana is the Tana that we've been calling Kala Beveis Avia, which is, we said before, is a code for Rabbi Yoshua. And by saying Rabbi Yoshua, we're saying that it's the father's obligation to bring the proofs. And what's the father doing here? He's trying to bring a proof in order to keep the money, to keep maintain his possession of the Kiddushin money that he has had already received. And he's not coming to ruin any status. He's coming to maintain the girl's status of having been blemish-free at the time of the marriage. So with all of these elements in mind, we would have a parallel. Once you insert this new piece of information, you're dealing with the father's maintenance of the Kiddushin money, the proofs that the father is, or the role of the father is to maintain money that he had already been holding on to, and to maintain the status of the girl as being blemish free, just like the Baal HaChamor. And by the way, the father is going to bring proof even in the case when she's nichnasa l'rishus habaal, when it's out, when the blemish has become discovered outside of his domain. So from all standpoints, we have a parallel to Shmuel's din. So Shmuel can base himself on Shitas Rabbi Yeshua, that's placing the burden of proof on the father, even when the girl is out of his domain, and it's all for maintenance purposes. The Gemara adds another piece of information. We said to hold on to the Kiddushin. So there, with regard to Kiddushin money, there's a machlokus surrounding Kiddushin money. In a situation that after a woman receives Kiddushin money, and let's say the husband drops dead, he dies. Does the money go back? After all, she received money in anticipation of consummating a marriage. Well, does she have to give the money back? So there's a machlokus on that issue, and it's called Kiddushin, if it's letivuin nitnu or not. Tivuin has to do with the word tova, sunken. Is the money sunk? Has the money sunk into the possession of the wife or the wife's father? So the Gemara now, with that background, that there are two opinions regarding the Kiddushin money in the case that the husband dies. Now here we're not talking about the husband dying. So the Gemara says, Velo temo alibo demanda omar kiddushin lav letivuin nitnu, and don't say that Shmuel's din is being paralleled to the Mishnah only with regard to the opinion that holds that the kesef kiddushin, the initial marriage money, wasn't sunken. Which by taking that approach, you say it's not sunk. It's not sunk in the domain, in the reshus, in the possession of the girl. So that would make it sound easier for us to leave. Elafilu lemandomar kiddushin letivuin nitnu. Even according to that approach, and by the way, when we say kala beveis ovia, we're saying that it's the father's obligation to bring proof. So even according to the Mandomar that says that once the money was given, so that's it. Even according to that Mandomar, Hani Mili Kiddushi Vadai, that is true when you're dealing with a Kiddushin that at the time of the Kiddushin things were certain. Namely, the husband was alive and well, so she was certainly married by him. Avo Kiddushi Tois. But when you're dealing with Kiddushin that might be predicated on an error altogether, namely, when did the blemishes appear? If they appeared before the Kiddushin, so there was no Kiddushin to begin with. So when you're dealing with Kiddushei Tois, in order for the father to hold on to the money, E maisi raya in, E lo. If he can bring proof, then yes, and if not, not. So that what the Gemara just pointed out was, I don't have to tell you that this whole issue of the father needing to bring proof is according to the opinion that the Kiddushin is not Litivuin, which would mean that the father doesn't have such a strong hold on the money. But even according to the Mandomar that Kiddushin Litivuin Nitnu, that the money is we'll say he has a strong hold on the Kiddushin money, nevertheless, he still has to bring proofs. The Gemara continues with a question. Notice this is a long question. This question comes from what we would say left field. It comes from a topic that you would wonder how in the world could it be connected to our discussion, but we'll try to show that as we go through the Gemara. The topic has to do with treifus. Treifus has to do with an imperfection in an animal, in the organs of an animal, that would render the animal unfit for consumption, halachically speaking. It's called a treifa. To zero in on the topic at hand, if you have certain internal organs that are punctured by even a needle, that would render the animal unfit. These laws are based on an oral tradition we call a halacha l'Moshe Mi Sinai. They're discussed at length in the third perek of Maseches Chulin. In this case, we're going to be talking about a needle found in a certain part of the animal's stomach system. Specifically, a part of the stomach called the Beis HaKosos. For our purposes, the Beis HaKosos is noteworthy in that it has a very thick walled section of the stomach organ. Bear that in mind. It's thick walled, so that we're going to be able to talk about a needle that has penetrated but hasn't fully punctured the Beis HaKosos. There is more to it, as we will see in the course of this question. Meisve, machat shenimseis beove Beis HaKosos. A needle is found after an animal is slaughtered and its stomach is being viewed. You notice a needle that is stuck into the thickness of the Beis HaKosos. Mitzad echod kshera. If the needle is only stuck in one side of the Beis HaKosos, it hasn't come out the other side, the animal is deemed kshera. Mishnei tzadim. If the needle has punctured the Beis HaKosos wall through and through, shnei tzadim means both sides, trefa. Nimtza leh kurt dam. The needle that has punctured the animal through and through, you notice a speckle of blood on the tip of the needle. Biodua shehu lifnei shchita. That is proof that the puncture took place before the animal was slaughtered. In other words, at the point the animal was slaughtered, it was already a trefa. Lo nimso leh kurt dam. You find a needle that punctured the Beis HaKosos through and through, but there's no blood at the tip of the needle. Oh, biyodua shehu li'achar shchita. That shows that the needle puncture took place after the animal was slaughtered. So that when the animal was slaughtered, the animal was kosher. It was a fine slaughtering, and this needle presents no problem. Another phenomenon. Huglod pi maka. There was a needle penetration, and the surface of the Beis HaKosos, the needle went through and through, but the maka, which is the site of penetration, has a scab on it. Huglud. Huglud is that the blood coalesced or congealed. In order for that to take place, biyodua sheshloisha yomim kodim shchita. That's a sure sign that the needle penetration had taken place at least 3 days before your slaughtering of the animal. Now we're going to talk about a butcher who slaughters animals, buying the animal from an animal raiser, one who raises animals. So now you have a case where the butcher, he bought the animal. What's important for us to establish is when the purchase took place, was the animal a kosher animal? Was it a trefa animal? A person, when buying animals for slaughtering and sale purposes, he's expecting that it's a kosher animal. If it turns out to be a trefa, so the deal is off. That's a given. So can a slaughterer, what's called a tabuch, can he know when the animal became a trefa? Was it before he bought it, and therefore he gets his money, the deal is off? Or did it happen after he bought it? So we can establish this if we know certain things. So first of all, if you see huglud pi amaka, if you see a scab on the point of penetration, so the source tells us, you know that it took place at least 3 days before the slaughtering. Oh, so that if the butcher bought the animal, the butcher slaughterer bought the animal within the last 3 days, he had bought an animal that was already a treifa. The deal is off. Lo hublud pi hamako. He finds a penetrated beis hakosos. No scab. Well, no scab. So I can tell you that the needle penetration was within the last 3 days, but when, I don't know for sure. So that we say hamotzi mechaveru olavaraya. Now the translation of that is that the one who wants to extract from the other, it is upon him to bring the proof. When we speak about have a deal that took place, the superficial approach is that someone's trying to extract money. What does that mean, to extract money? To get their money back, or to claim the money that is owed to them? But whatever the case is, we're just presenting the general framework or a host of possibilities regarding how to deal with this phrase, Hamotzi mechaver levaraya. And now we're going to add more information and see how this checks out with Shmuel's teaching and Shmuel's approach to situations of doubt. The Gemara continues. Ve'i yohiv tabach domi. If the slaughterer had paid money, he paid the original cow owner the purchase price for the cow. If that's the case, what's happening here? He is trying to get his money back. Boi l'suye raya umapik. According to the rules of the source, when there's an issue of doubt, the slaughterer had opened up the animal, he saw a needle that penetrated the base hakosos, he did not see a scab, and he doesn't know, was the penetration before the time he bought it, or after he bought it. What does the tabach then have to do? He has to bring proof, and thereby extract. V'amai, according to Shmuel, why should that be the procedure? Bal behemo laisi raya v'nokim. In a case where there's this doubt, should it not be that the original cow owner should be bringing the proof in order to hold on to the purchase money that he received? Just like, remember, according to Rav Nachman Yitzchok, the father was bringing proof to hold on to the kiddushin money that he received. And yet we have a Tanaic source that says Hamotzi mechaveru olav haraya, the one who's trying to extract, to take away, he has to bring the proof. So in the case that the money had been paid up already, we're telling you that the tabach is the one that has to bring a raya. That shouldn't be according to Shmuel's approach when that doubt arose in the case of Machlif Pora B'chamor. The Gemara says that this source with the needle is talking about B'delo Yohiv Tabocha Domi. No money was paid, and the Baal HaBehema is the one who is trying to bring proof to get his payment. He's the interested party. He's the one that's trying to get money. So the Baal HaBehema is the one that would have to bring the proof. So as far as we are concerned, the source is talking about because no money was paid, and it's the Baal HaBehema who's the one that has to bring the proof. Let's take a look at Rashi. when looking at Rashi, the lower part of the Rashi commentary, the lo yohiv tabuch domi, hodikotoni hamotzi mechavero, the source that says the one who is taking away has to bring the proof, bebal behemo komar, ukigon de ihu kotova. The Gemara now raises a problem with this approach. Very, very terse Gemara. It says, my poska. In order to appreciate this, we have to learn Rashi. Bearing in mind, as we go through this Gemara and the Rashi, we're trying to defend Shmuel's position in light of this source. The Gemara asks, or Rashi explains, my poska bitmiha. My ko'amras, what are you saying here? In all cases, the previous owner of the cow is the one that is going to have to bring proofs. Bein hu hamotzi, whether he is the one that's trying to extract the money, as we said that the money, the purchase money had not been paid, so he's trying to extract the purchase price. Bein hu hamamid, whether he is the one that is trying to maintain the purchase money. And that's very significant if you want this case to parallel Shmuel's din, where he said that the Baal HaChamor is trying to maintain, he has to bring proof in order to maintain holding on to the cow, even though the donkey is dead. Well, if that be the case, Heich hu shone, how can this Tanaic source with the needle and the butcher, how can it say hamotzi mechavero, use that expression bebaal behema as a reference to the former cow owner, the koreu lebaal behema loyolim, and always call him hamotzi mechavero? Motzi means he's always coming, he is always the extractor. The chiposak tana dover hakotzuv, has the Tana established as a given, shel'olam moichrim behemos be'amona vu hamotzi, that whenever animals are sold, they're always sold on credit. That there will be an animal transfer before any money is exchanged, and it's always this way, and therefore we can say with confidence that the Baal Beim is always the motzi. Is that so? Is that a reality? That animals are always sold on credit? The Gemara continues. Back in the Gemara text, Elo kiyoso Romi bar Yecheskel Omar, when Romi, the son of Yecheskel, he came and said, Lo tetzaisinu lahani kloli dekayel Yehuda achi mishmei de Shmuel. We saw Shmuel, first house of Shmuel. That teaching was brought to you by Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. Rav Yehuda was also known as Rav Yehuda bar Yecheskel, even though you don't see that very often in the Shas. Rav Yehuda was the son of Yecheskel, and he had a brother, Rumi. Rumi bar Yecheskel, he appears here telling us, don't listen, lo tetzaisinu, don't listen, don't heed the kloli, the teachings, the rules that my brother Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel. In other words, what we've learned till now in the name of Shmuel is inaccurate. Hochi Omar Shmuel. This is what Shmuel teaches. Kol shenoilad sofeg birushuso olav haraya. That the one in whose domain the doubt arose, it's for him to bring proof to support his particular claim. V'tana tuna kala. There you go, again the double underline, that there is support for Shmuel's din, but now we have a new presentation of Shmuel's din. And the support for Shmuel's din is our Mishnah. You might ask, well, according to this, what aspect of our Mishnah? So we take a look at Rashi, four lines from the bottom. Actually, let's do Rashi, five lines from the bottom. V'tana tuna kala. Usvira, excuse me, the line above that, Kol shenolad sofek birshuso, wherever the doubt arises, it is upon him to bring the proof. Al bal hapora lahavi raya shemes hachamor kodem mishicha. So in the case that Shmuel was referring to of a machlev pora b'chamor, after the mishicha was done, after the deal was clinched, then the doubt arose. Then it was discovered that the donkey was dead. In whose domain did the doubt arise? In the Baal HaPorah's domain. So it's on the Baal HaPorah, in that donkey cow switch, it's his obligation to bring proof that the donkey died before the deal was done. Hayol v'sofek b'shuso nolad. Shelo nimtso hachamor meis ad le'achar mishichas porah. The donkey was not found dead until after the cow was drawn. So it's after the cow was drawn, and that former cow owner wants the deal to be undone because the donkey is dead. But when was the donkey discovered to be dead? After the cow was drawn. So the doubt arose when the donkey was already in the domain of the pora owner. The tonatuna kala usvirule l'shmuel de kula masnis and chad tanahu. And this is a great departure from the approach we had taken till now. Until now, that was according to Rav Yehuda's presentation of Shmuel, the Mishnah was a split authorship, namely the approach taken by Rebbe Lazar. Rami Bar Yechezkel's approach to Shmuel is very different, that the entire Mishnah is one Tana. Uchidetortso Rav Eliel, as Rava had explained back on Ayin Hayomid Beis. More accurately, Rava had appeared, it's true, on Ayin Hayomid Beis. That's where Rava appeared. It's just that his explanation spilled over to Ayin Vav Amid Aleph, the discussion concerning Rava's answer, I should say. So Rava had said that the entire Mishnah is one author. He said it's we explained then, according to Rav, that the entire Mishnah is according to Rav Gamliel. And Rav Gamliel, in general, in the case of the husband-wife controversy, he was favoring the wife. So Rashi goes on over here that the entire Mishnah is one Tana, like Rav explained. V'resha v'seifa siyata, and in fact, the Mishnah, it's resha, and the Seifa are support. Shemisha Nimtza has simpon birshuso. He in whose domain the discovery of the mum took place. The discovery of the mum is that which creates the doubt. Olav lahavi raya. He is the one that has to bring proof. And how did we see that in the Mishnah? The Mishnah said, Oida bebeis ovia, while she's still in her father's house, the mum was discovered. Al ho'av lahavi raya. She's in her father's domain. The father would have to bring proof that the blemish arose after the marriage. And Nichnasu l'chupa, the second part of the Mishnah, she b'shus baal, where she entered the husband's domain and then the mum was discovered. Al habaal lahavi raya. The husband is the one that has to bring proof, because the discovery of the blemish took place after she had entered his domain. So Shmuel's halacha is, as we said, as Rami Bar Yechezkel says, that in whose domain the doubt arises, it's upon him to bring proof. And very specifically, in the case there of Shmuel's din of Machlif Por B'Chamor, the Chamor owner already did the Mashicha on the he did the Mashicha on the Para, and then the donkey was discovered to be dead. So in such a case, as Rashi said, the Baal HaPara would have to bring proof. So by that last statement, by the way, you don't see this in the Gemara at all, but by just saying that al bal hapora to bring proof, you notice how Rami Bar Yechezkel's approach is different than that of Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shmuel's approach. Because when we read on Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, three lines from bottom, there Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shmuel is saying that the Baal HaChamor has to bring proof. Okay, this you can see simply by combining the Gemara here with the Rashi that we read, who said Al Baal HaPorah Lo Havi Raya. And that's why you might notice in our markings of the Rashi, we dashed underline that Al Baal HaPorah Lo Havi Raya. The Gemara asks on this approach, Meisvei, and it cites, but in a highly abbreviated fashion, it cites the same source as above. Machat shenimseis be'oivei beis hakoisois, the needle found in the stomach wall, penetrating the stomach wall, and the chule. You would continue the whole source to the end, where you saw the needle penetrating, there was no scab formed, so we don't know when the needle penetrated relative to when the animal was purchased. And the conclusion of the Tanaic source was Hamotzi mechavero of Araya, that he was coming to collect, to extract, he has to bring the proof. Now, but before we had suggested that that's what the source was talking about, where no purchase money had been paid yet. If that's the case, that no purchase had been paid yet, so who's the motzi mechavero? The original cow owner is trying to extract his purchase money. Baal behema boy lasuye raya umapik. If the money had not been paid, as we in fact had suggested earlier, that that's what the source was talking about. Even though, by the way, that answer was attacked by the Gemara, but if we make that assumption that money has not been paid, so the Baal HaBehema is the one who's the Motzi Mechavero. He's trying to get the money that had not been paid to him yet. So he's Boila Sui Rayo Mapik. He has to bring proof and then take the money. Vamai, why should that be? Sfeika Birshus Taboch is Yalid. The doubt arose after the animal was slaughtered, after the animal was already in the domain of the Taboch, the slaughterer butcher. So according to Rami Bar Yecheskel, Shmuel is giving us the rule that he in whose domain the doubt arose, he is the one that has to bring proof. If money was not paid, well, in whose domain did the doubt arise? It arose in the Taboch's domain. Why then are you saying that the Baal HaPorah has to bring the proof? The Gemara says, the Yohiv Taboch Domi. The case of the needle and the treifa and the sale of the Porah to the butcher, there is an assumption made that the Taboch paid the money already. Now, he paid the money. He wants to get his money back. It's in his domain that the Sofek arose. And he is called Motzi Mechaver because he's trying to get his money back. The Gemara asks, Umay Poska, very similar to the way the Gemara asked this question before, means, what makes you so sure that the Taboch is always going to be the Motzi Mechavero? Aren't there situations where the Taboch hasn't paid the money yet? And still you're telling me, according to the rule of Rami Bar Yecheskel named Shmuel, that since the doubt arises in his domain, because he's opening up the animal after it's slaughtered and discovering the problem, he's always going to have to bring the proof. And you're telling me he is the Motzi Mechaver? That means that in all cases, you have a Taboch that's trying to get back his purchase money. Is that always the case? The Gemara says, yes, that is always the case, because Stama de Milsa, the standard approach in animal raisers and dealing with butchers that purchase animals, kama de lo yoivinish zuzi, lo yoivinish chiyusa. That as long as the money hasn't been paid, the cow owner would not transfer his cow to the butcher. So that if you've got a butcher who is slaughtering an animal, you can rest assured the money has been paid. That's a given. And being that the money has been paid, the butcher in whose domain the doubt is arising is the one that's going to be described as the motzi mechavero. He's trying to extract the money that he had already paid, get it back, and that conforms to the rule that Shmuel is teaching according to Rami Bar Yecheskel. And that concept of the one in whose domain the doubt arises, he is the one that has to bring proof, that is found, there's a basis for that is found in our Mishnah dealing with the Kala, and as we learned the Mishnah according to Rava, that there's one author for the Reisha and the Seifa, and in the Reisha we saw the father having to bring proof in order to support his position. The blemish was discovered while in his domain. And in the safe of the Mishnah, after she entered the husband's domain, we saw the Mishnah telling us that the husband has to bring proof to maintain his position as the blemish was discovered in his domain. It's upon him to bring proof. We continue in the Gemara. V'chachomim oimrim b'med v'mumurim b'mumin shebeseser. The whole concept of the Baal claiming grounds for divorce has to do with hidden blemishes that only after the marriage does he discover, as opposed to visible blemishes that he would have seen at the outset and agreed to marry her, and hence he has no claim that he was tricked or mistaken in entering the marriage. Omar Rav Nachman. We continue now at the top of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. The Nichpe. Nichpe is a name of a disease. It's a disease called the falling disease. Rashi says at the top, Nichpe, Chayli Shemimenu Nothel Arts, V'yeshlo Zman Lavo. It's a disease that comes at regular intervals. I'm not sure regarding the medical literature on epilepsy if that too has fixed times for coming, but that's irrelevant for us. The Gemara is describing a disease that seems to have at least the symptoms or the manifestations of an epileptic attack. Whether this is that or not is not relevant to us. What is noteworthy is that's the nature of the disease, the nichbe, and it comes at fixed times. We're making that assumption for right now. The nichbe kemumin shebeseser domi. It's considered like an unknown blemish, an unknown medical problem. Why? Because it comes at fixed times. The patient or the sufferer knows to go into hiding when it happens, to conceal the problem by isolating themselves, so that the husband or anyone else for that matter would have no way of knowing that they suffer from it. So he would be able to claim his objection to the marriage based on mumin if the girl, the wife, suffers from this problem. V'hani mili de kaviyo leizman. Everything we've said now concerning nichpe is true if, in fact, it comes at fixed intervals. Avalo kavia lei, if it is, it's erratic. It doesn't come at fixed times. Kemumin shebegoloi domi. Then it would be considered something like an exposed blemish, and the halachas of mumin guluyim would therefore apply here too. And as we said before, the husband would not be able to claim that he didn't know about it. It's not something that could have been concealed. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.